Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning to you who are online. We're going to play some music, and at 9 a.m. we will be starting properly. Thank you so much for giving time to this unscheduled meeting. I definitely appreciate it. So let's enjoy the music of Holy Water.
Gotta beg and please again, I need you.
house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
Lord, make me a house, make me a house of prayer. Lord, make me a house, make me a house of prayer.
May the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
May the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
I wanna seek your face, seek your face, oh Lord.
Make me a house,
oh,
make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
May the fire on my altar never burn out, the fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out.
Make me a house of prayer.
I want to seek your face, oh Lord.
Make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
May the fire of my altar never burn out, the fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. Fire of my altar never burn out. The fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. We pray, Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. I wanna seek your face, seek your face, oh Lord. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. May the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. We say, Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. Seek your face, seek your face, oh Lord. Make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
Amen. That is our constant prayer, that we become houses of prayer, that we realize that every victory is won in prayer, and even the direction and the guidance that is needed for effective, fruitful ministry is gained in prayer. And so we definitely bless the Spirit of the Lord for the grace and for the anointing of prayer. Thank you all so much for coming on early this morning so that we could just briefly go over and prepare for some things. And so I don't know if the prophet is on the line or not. If not, can we just have someone open up in prayer? Oh,
Father, thank you. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to come together, to have ears to hear your strategy. We thank you for what you have downloaded in the heart of our apostle. We thank you that your word says, without a prophetic vision, the people run wild. Mm-hmm. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to have direction and where you are going. And we do decree and declare our April prayer and declaration. We declare that it is the month of divine interventions and prophetic turnarounds. We speak to the mountains that have been erected in our lives. And we decree according to Isaiah 44b, every mountain and hill shall be made flat, the crooked road shall be made straight, and the rough ground made smooth. We decree prophetic turnarounds in our families, for our friends, in our faith, in our finances, and in our future. We release angelic assistance in the realm of the spirit to divinely intervene for us. We declare angelic intervention of protection, angelic intervention of deliverance, angelic interventions of direction, angelic interventions of preparation, and angelic interventions of prophetic doors opening. We believe the Lord who rolled out of Zion has driven out all of our enemies, and we confess that we will quantum leap this month. We will experience an abrupt change, a sudden increase, and a dramatic advancement in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Bless you.
Amen.
Bless you. And again, thank you for all of those individuals that are on the line. It's like about 12 plus of us. And so I am excited. I want to be a good steward of your time. So we had a phenomenal time last month. The March Healing Conversations was just simply phenomenal. I think that we had a wonderful turnout. And I wanted to take, you know, about 10 minutes to get any feedback from the March Healing Conversations Symposium as we talk about the next one that's forthcoming. Is there any feedback, input, anything? I know it seems like a long time ago. Well, okay, then. I guess it was okay for everybody. Okay, well, amen. If there is no feedback, I don't want to rush through this. I just know that you guys have about four other meetings, bare minimum, today.
Yeah.
So if there isn't any feedback as it relates to that March symposium, originally the next symposium was scheduled to happen June 12th. It was scheduled to happen June 12th. It cannot happen June 12th, so it will not be June 12th. That is a pretty full day already. And so we need to switch that date. So I have two things on the table, and you all can let me know where you're at with them. It is either going to be a May 8th, which makes it next month, and the focus of this one is coming to the doctor's office or meet us on the couch. We're still doing the conversations with Christ in or from, whichever word we want to use, his chambers. And we looked at Christ Healing Conversations last month. I guess it was last month. And so we're going to begin to look at these healing conversations from the voices of either the church or the culture or clinicians or clergy. Or, you know, we can actually make that decision today. So what I want to do is just first solidify the date because we're not going to do June 12th. So we could do May 8th or we could do July 10th. Both of those dates are a little difficult but not impossible, definitely doable, definitely doable. And we probably, it's definitely a possibility that we won't even have a strategy meeting on July 12th. I'm looking to see how we can possibly work that out. But nevertheless, so does anybody have any thoughts regarding May 8th or July 10th?
Elder Lynette, I would prefer July 10th. I mean, yeah. Just gives us time to, in my mind, time to pull it together.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you definitely for that input. Anybody else have a...
Evangelist Shannon, I agree with Elder Lynette for the July 12th date. Gives us time to pray and war over the scriptures and to effectively hear from God as opposed to trying to rush and put things together for the March or for the May date. But I'm with the July date.
Okay. Well, and I am definitely getting some response in via text as it relates to the July date. And so if the July date is a better date, or not better, but at least a preferred date, I just want to make sure before we solidify July 10th and then kind of share what all we have. Is someone speaking?
This is the Winslows. We concur with the July date.
Okay, because no one has chosen the May 8th, at least not via text or verbally. I can't speak for the nonverbal choices or preferences. We can move forward.
Minister Pat.
Okay, we can. And I've been told May 8th is the Mother's Day Eve, so I'm not sure what that means, but we will just move forward. We definitely will schedule this for July 10th. Some things that become important that I think that we have to just take into consideration. Again, the probably, unless we are able to do some creative changing in our strategy meeting, we will meet on, we're meeting today for the next 50 minutes. We will meet on May 8th. We will not, let me reiterate, we will not meet on June 12th. We will not meet on June 12th. Most people will be a part of a prophetic emerging and merging activation and release. So we will not meet on July 12th. We will need to kind of creatively see how we can, I don't see us per se, unless we are able to do some creative changing, coming up with a strategy meeting for the month of July. I mean, excuse me, for the month of June. I will definitely kind of try to look at the schedule and see if it's possible to have another one put in there. But for right now, it does not look like we will have the opportunity to meet in June. With that being said, the preparation for today and for May 8th is probably going to speak to the preparation that happens for July 10th. Okay, so we will definitely schedule the next Conversations with Christ in or from His Chambers for July 12th, excuse me, for July 10th. Keeping in mind, by the time we have that healing conversation symposium, we will definitely need to have solidified or be definitely aggressively in the process for the November 18th through the 21st conference, the Sexual Relational Redemptive Restorative Healing Experience. That is scheduled for November 18th through the 21st, both virtual and in person. At least that's what we're trying to do. It is definitely scheduled virtually. We are looking to try to see how we can have a in-person representation as well. So we just have a lot to begin to think about and formulate. So as we prepare today just for moving ahead and prayerfully just trying to get some conversation out there, it would be helpful to kind of know where people are at. How did we like the format of the previous one so that we could get a feel for how we want to move forward with this next one. So what, is there any input or suggestions on how we want to move with the next one that's going to be more focused around come meet us in the doctor's office or having couch conversation? So is there any thought or anything behind that?
I was able to watch it, when I got back, and the only thing that I noticed was that you weren't able to see people's presentation, I guess, because they were in multiple rooms, and so only the main room, you know, it was like after the fact, so you missed what happened beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh yeah.
No, And I think people were in breakout rooms for maybe like 2 or 3 minutes, and they come back to the main room and then go back to the breakout room for 2 or 3 minutes. So you're missing people's presentation. You only hear the presentation for whoever was in the room with you.
Okay.
And I think maybe people might would have liked to have experienced or heard, you know, the various presentations and not just whoever was, you know, with them in that room.
I am not Zoom. I'm not necessarily Zoom proficient from that perspective, so I don't know if it was a way to simultaneously record all of the different breakout rooms so that they could have been heard. But that is definitely something that we can consult on or to see if that's feasible. And we don't even, you know, again, in terms of formatting for this upcoming healing symposium, we don't necessarily have to do it that way. So we are definitely open to any suggestions for format.
Apostle?
Yes.
For the November 18th through the 21st, the sexual healing and redemptive experience, I wanted to comment. I was wondering, is that something that could be done maybe in a different setting, not necessarily Zoom? Is that something we could have as a conference, considering, you know, that COVID numbers and more people are becoming vaccinated? I was thinking maybe if we could have it be a conference with maybe a less attendance, you know, just for the togetherness of the conference and to have a better experience.
I definitely understand the need for, or better yet, the difference that in-person gatherings, the impact that it has. And, you know, because our COVID numbers continue to fluctuate and we just have no idea where we'll be at that point. My concern became when we initially was looking at some of the preparation and planning for this, I'm going into a contractual agreement, you know, with the hotel with such uncertainty. And there is little fluctuation in that. And just even though, you know, our COVID numbers are fluctuating and there is some vaccinations going forth, people still have some concerns about meeting like that at a, you know, gathering like that. I am not opposed to it, which is why I said that we would be doing it virtually, and we are looking at a format to have some in-person meeting, even if some of those in-person meetings happen on location at the church. Again, that is going to alter the whole concept of the experience as it relates to around the clock and things of that nature. But that definitely is something that we're looking at considering. So I'm definitely open, you know, if as a ministry we, you know, believe that people would be receptive to gathering at a hotel for this kind of experience, by all means, let me know. You know, we have some time. We can have dialogue about that, what that will mean, and because that is definitely something that we have to aggressively start now.
I attended a conference at a hotel, and you know, the tables were definitely spread out. You know, and you didn't have, you know, 8 people at a table. You had maybe like 4 people at a table. So even though they were round tables, you know, you definitely had less people at a table, and the numbers for the conference itself was just capped. Like, we cannot have more than whatever, you know, number of people at the conference because of the COVID and social distancing, things of that nature. So, you know, because we don't know what November is going to look like, I mean, wherever we are, whether we're in person or at a hotel, I think we're going to have to cap it.
Oh, absolutely. That, yeah. Without a doubt, no matter where COVID goes, there's just going to still be some social distancing, masking, and other things like that that we'll have to govern ourselves accordingly. In addition to that, because it has to be capped and because you do have to take those things into consideration, your space, the cost for your space is going to shift because you're not getting the maximum. You're not maximizing your space. So you actually have to get more space to be able to accommodate the structure. Changing, altering the structure. And then definitely we'll have to look at how do you maintain a Zoom presence or whatever platform we will stream from a variety of spaces because things happen simultaneously throughout the event.
Is it mandatory that you have a variety of spaces? I mean, can you just use, like, one space, you know, and then it's easier to have one space and then do a, you know, a hybrid, you know, conference. Therefore, those that are not on site could just, you know, log into one, you know, platform. I mean, it would just mean restructuring how you do it, you know, rather than having multiple rooms. You know, on site is what I'm saying. Could it just be done in
one room? No. I understand.
Wow. I mean, it's just a matter of just restructuring everything. But we don't need to waste time talking about that.
Well, no, because if that is something that people are even interested and or considering, that's something we need to begin to look at now. I know that November may seem far away, but the planning to change the structure back to, let's say, an event location other than the church is definitely something we have to look at now and plan for from a financial perspective. And because you'll be, you know, actually doing a on location and a virtual, it just requires a little additional planning and preparation. So if that is something that people are even remotely interested in, it definitely bears having a conversation about it. All while we should be thinking about this healing conversation that's forthcoming.
Hello. Kathy,
yeah.
I just want to say something about the vaccine. Yes, lots of people are getting vaccinated, and there are a large number of people that are not getting vaccinated.
Absolutely.
And the other thing, too, is that people who have been vaccinated have been recently getting this new strain, but it's not as bad. So I don't know right now. You can go either way in the water. But, you know, as far as these vaccines are concerned, because people that took the Johnson & Johnson are having problems and they have gotten the other variant. I don't know what the percentages are, but you have a lot of people still backing away from the vaccine. And then you want to require people to have a vaccine if they want to be together in a gathering, and that's a HIPAA violation. So you really can't force people to say whether or not they had a vaccine. So I'm for the mixture of on-site and virtual because you're never really going to know who got vaccinated, you know, and it's only going to prevent you from getting the worst symptoms of it, but it's not going to prevent you from getting a disease or disease process or whatever you want to call it. So it's still a lot of fear out there as far as vaccines are concerned. So for me, I can do virtual and I can do on-site, you know, because either one, you know. But speaking to when you're doing the virtual, because where I work at, so we have meeting rooms. You can only have 8 people in a meeting room or 6, and that is it. And so what has happened with the presenters recently, they have videotaped their presentations, and they're fitting into the meeting. So that's where we are right now at this gigantic hospital that I work at. So, yeah. Okay, that's all I can say. Thank you.
Yeah. No, thank you. Definitely taking into consideration that the vaccine doesn't prevent the spread. It just minimizes it. So,
symptoms, yeah. But hey, Apostle, I think what Elder April said, we definitely, I think that we can actually do it on site with a capacity. We definitely have to look at restructuring it. And I think we can take consideration some of our spaces. There is a possibility we could have 3 things going on or maybe 4 things going on at the same time. And what would just have to happen is each one of those links, each one of those will have their own Zoom link. Whoever in that particular space be the person who would be control of both the video aspect of it and making sure that people who log on to that link. And with that in mind, if we do that, we want to look at least having some, at least 4 devices, whatever, however we look at our space and say, okay, we'll run 4 things at a time, 3 things at a time. We want to look at having 3 devices that can be recorded or live streamed, for lack of a better word. And what I just mean is that the person in a room would need a video to connect so that the people who log on to Zoom as well would be able to see what is happening.
Okay. Interesting. Well, with that, with all of this information in mind, and because we it was decided to do the next healing symposium in July, one of the things we can do is we will definitely do it virtually. Please hear me, we'll definitely do it virtually. But we can also possibly do some on-site and break it up into 2 rooms to do a test pilot of what the prophet just spoke of, to see how that would possibly work out moving forward. To have it zoomed from or on whatever social media platform from multiple rooms, even if we start off with just 2 rooms, okay, and then going forward to see how that actually works, how that would work for us logistically.
I have a question, another question or comment. It's possible to, I mean, okay, so outside during this time, the weather should be great. I mean, you can actually tent off a couple of sections and have your session like that, because you have lots of space and the traffic is not really that heavy because you're off the main road and the traffic is not that heavy, so it'll be easy to even think about using a tent space as well.
That's how the August conference is slated to happen. I know I'm mixing apples and oranges right now, but again, because July 10th was chosen, which is a little more than a month before the August conference, which is going to use that kind of platform in, out, and all about. July 10th looks like a really good pilot to do a few things, inside, outside, and virtual. And how does that sound with everyone?
That sounds good, Apostle.
Yeah, okay, so July 10th is a huge pilot testing experience. And that's fine because we definitely, you know, yeah. So we are looking at conversations with Christ in or from his chamber. And so we would want to come up with a for the July 10th. We are going to incorporate, we're definitely mixing apples and oranges, but we're going to incorporate the CCTI students who are participating with the life coaches, with the Soul Care Program, life coaching, Soul Care Program, Essential Worker. And we're also going to incorporate the 2021 candidates who are going in any form of a pastoral care capacity. So those who are going forward with the focus and or concentration in those areas. And so the goal would be to create this, not necessarily therapy session, but you know what, a word of, that we will all understand is this living room. I think people can remember living room. So the goal would be to create this living room that has a variety of different scenarios that we begin to talk about how we live in them and then live through them and become effective and fruitful with that in mind. So what is the Lord's conversation to us? What is his remedy to us? What are these healing conversations with Christ? What is he saying to our mind, to our body, to our soul, to our spirit? And what is he saying using the voices of, and again, we have a long list, the voices of the church, of the culture, clinicians, of clergy, of coaches, of clients, of counselors, et cetera, et cetera. So we definitely want to focus in or zoom in on this church and culture. So moving forward for July is a living room concept. Any input about that as we begin to give some assignments? So, is someone saying something?
I have a question. Pastor Rogers, I say, I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Yes. And somebody was about to say, I have a
question. Will we still be able to have the format where we come in at our moment of presentation? So
say
sometimes
that again,
please. Okay. It's going to be Zoomed. So it's going to be Zoomed as well. So will the presenters have to be on site, or can they still do just in through Zoom?
No, they'll still be able to come in through Zoom.
Okay, great. That was my question.
We will just need to know whether people are inside, outside, or virtual so that it could be properly correlated. So it could be properly correlated. Right. So coordinated, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
But
sure.
No, they won't have to be on location. So
are we saying that July is going to be a hybrid conference? It's not virtual?
it is virtual as well as in person, and
so
in person
hybrid,
as well as, okay, yes, it's hybrid.
Okay. I misunderstood. I thought you said it was virtual. Okay.
Well, I think it more.
We did, and then we did, but we realized July 10th could serve as a pilot for several different things. And moving point, you know, we will definitely be doing some evaluating the effectiveness of that. So this setting is going to look more like a living room setting. We'll have to definitely figure out how we create a living room outside, but I definitely think it's doable. So right now, for this July, what do we want to focus on? Church, culture, clinicians, clergy, clients, counselors, et cetera, et cetera. The voices from. So in May, we heard the voices from Christ. So that means as we move forward with this, we're going to, again, create scenarios, and we will hear always Christ's voice or Christ's response to those scenarios. But we're also going to look at, let's say if we choose the church and culture, we're going to also look at the church's response and what does culture say about these different scenarios and go from there. So behind that.
I like the culture and the church.
And actually, if you
if you talked about using the CCTI, I definitely think that we should maybe address coaches and possibly counselors,
okay,
but also like culture as well.
You said culture or counselors or coaches?
I said all three. I said I definitely think if we're using the CCTI students, this would be a good practicum for them, and that will give them the opportunity from the coach perspective. But I definitely like counselor, and I like culture. I think if we – or church,
yeah.
I don't know. All of it. I mean, I think that that will give us what
I think
what we decide. What we decide, I think, will identify then what kind of space we want, because then maybe if we say three, we want to say community side, outside, and the church side, then maybe we can look at three, and then that way, you know, we have it, we're looking at the spaces, and that's our test pilot, and then we identify three that we want to look at.
Well, okay, so
church,
let's
culture.
Do that. Let's look at church, culture, and we're just gonna do coaches, okay? I'm sure that counseling will be interjected in there just because of the people, but we're going to just put them in the same category for right now. And so then that will be three, and when we come together, we can hear Christ's response to the church, to the culture, and to the coaches. How is that?
And to the coaches?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as from a therapeutic perspective, we have different belief systems and different theories that we buy into, that we share when we are counseling or coaching or whatever. However, and they are effective, but that does not mean they are by no means Christ-centered. So we find ourselves sharing from a cultural or even from a crisis perspective, but it does not mean that we're sharing from Christ's perspective. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does, Apostle, especially with new converts.
I know that that's a medical person talking now. No, because we're having to compel
the people, and the cultures are different. So the training would be our way of bringing unity.
or at least enlighten, educate individuals that there are different perspectives, and those perspectives don't have to contradict. We just need to understand what those perspectives are, and then be true to our alignment wherever you're at in those sectors.
Wow.
But I want to make sure that we see the difference. So the church is going to respond to a crisis one way. The culture is going to respond to a crisis one way. Coaches and counselors are going to respond one way. And chances are none of those response is the way Christ would respond. Do we see that?
Yes.
I just want to make sure we're all on the same. Ooh, make sure we're all on the same page.
Pastor T.
Yes.
So a concrete current example of that would be Adam Toledo. And if his mom or someone from that community came, how would or is the culture responding? How would the church respond, and how would all of that compare to how Christ would respond to that situation?
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
That's the perspective. That's the culture.
And I think the focus, which should emanate for us, is I'm sorry, the origin for us would be Christ, but the need of the culture and how churches within that culture respond would look different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So with that example that was put on the table, do we, for the most part, understand the flow of how this would work?
Yes.
So you would have a breakout space with the church, with the culture, and with coaches and counselors, and we would come together in an open session with Christ. And we can begin to have some healing conversations as it relates to various scenarios.
Okay. So someone would come up.
No.
Who determines the scenarios?
We are going. We have about 15 minutes left. So what I am going to suggest we do is we can send some case study, or I call it case studies. I guess they're called scenarios today. Whatever you want to call it.
But you can use both.
And what we can do is have those. No problem. What we can do is have those, but we also will need to have some biblical ones. The only way to.
If we are like live streaming it, we may want to be careful about, I don't know. I guess we could make them up.
Yeah, we're going to have to change the names to protect situations going forward. Yeah, that's why we're going to need to get those in advance and tweak them so that we can have an open conversation about them.
Yeah.
And we will. So what – I'm sorry, somebody's saying something?
No, I was, I guess there was Prophet, whoever it was that was talking. I mean, there are biblical characters in the Bible, like Stephen was stoned to death, and sure, that was death. And then you have the Good Samaritan, the guy who was beaten and robbed, all these things. I mean, that's the culture that we have today. So many things is going on. So you could just pick anyone. So to speak to those issues, because the results are, you know, people's lives have changed, and then you have death, of course, so many different things. So you can use that scenario, you know, and tweak it as you would have it.
So why don't we do this? Why don't we – I definitely think we need to get a – let's use the number 5. If somebody has a different number, that's fine. But just find 5 biblical scenarios, and we can draw some parallels to some current situations. How's that? And break it up. How would the church respond? How does the church respond? How does culture respond? What is the response of, you know, therapy or counselors and coaches? And so if we kind of come up with 5 different scenarios, I think that that would give us a healthy day of dialogue and interacting and just coming together with some strategy. I think that if we do it the right way, I believe this can be another, if not another, essential worker book, guide, pamphlet. It can definitely be answers from within, something that we can put together, format, and publish. Because, again, what this is doing, these healing conversations are just speaking to how we address and how we're addressing and dealing with the times that we're in, and some proven methodology, some proven methods that we know work. We can, again, continue with our scripture. I think before we had the daily scriptures, we did some soul decrees. We can do some purposeful praying, or I think you guys use the word intentional praying. So what's the focus that we need to put with the prayer focus that needs to emerge out of this? What are the soul decrees that, you know, need to emerge out of this, or soul decrees or confessions? Excuse me. What are the promises of God that can come forth out of this? You know, and so as we're looking at this, I believe that part of what we can or will find, I think one scripture somebody gave me was, go with the strength you have. I will be with you. Based out of Judges 6:14-16. And so that becomes a promise of God, to go with the strength that you have. God will be with you. So from the concept that he'll never leave you or forsake you, you know, that's a promise. It's a directive. And so we can begin to bring those kind of things out of this. How does that sound for people?
I'm sorry, there's noise in the background, so it's kind of hard to hear. Is that the scripture for what you're using for July?
No. It's a scripture that was in my phone. I was just using it as an example.
Okay.
And
I'm like, what's that noise? Okay.
Oh, I don't know what the noise is, but I was just sharing that little scripture.
Okay.
I wasn't with a thing or anything.
Okay.
I wanted to say the essential book. Did you hear me, Apostle? Everybody? The essential book that I passed out at work. Yes. So many people are so grateful to receive the book. And one of the Indian ladies that I work with, she said it has just really ministered to her spirit. And she said to say thank you, because they just felt so alone and in there every day, coming in there and going through all of that. And she shared it with her daughter. And her daughter told her to cut it up and send her 30 pages out of it. I was like, no, I will get another book and send it to her daughter. So just to let you know that people received it, they're reading it, they're being encouraged, and they're being ministered to. So thank you for that, to all those who
amen. We will definitely share that with Apostle Hook. I definitely think that would be encouraging for Apostle Hooks, and he can share it with the authors of the book.
Yeah.
So, but I love those testimonies coming out of county, and we have some more books. I'm actually bringing some to church tomorrow. So, absolutely.
Okay. I think a couple. I think it's gonna end up in India. Okay, which would be good. Okay.
No matter what we do, we don't get around India at all. India and certain places in Africa, it just always makes it there.
Yeah, amen.
So I'm definitely excited about that. So,
yeah.
Is there a thing that that's on people's heart to go with for July? Anybody?
Mm. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Apostle, can you repeat that? July. I said, is there a thing? Does anybody have a thing on their mind?
Mm. Oh. Oh, wow.
Christ is church or Christ? Christ is or Christ?
Mm.
Crisis or Christ?
Ah. Mm-hmm.
That's
noise. Definitely. For me, I'm in a crisis with Christ.
Wow.
Where that living room at? I need to be in that living room.
Yeah. Well.
I'm with him, but I have a crisis of belief going on. Oh, yes. Okay, so we're going to work with crisis and Christ. And however we work that out.
And can that be one of the classes or one of the seminars, symposiums, one of the rooms?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A whole session. Wow.
Right.
Get me out of my crisis. Okay. Can we get a scripture for that thing?
Christ in Christ.
Wow.
Hmm? You're not alone, Apostle.
I hear you, Elder. I'm trying to tell you, I'm not alone. So Christ is in my crisis. Now he may be silent, but he's there.
Oh yeah.
Or maybe the chattering voices of my crisis is so loud that I can't hear Christ's voice. But he's there. I just need him to get me out.
Apostle, an example I'm thinking, or what came to mind, was the disciple who wouldn't believe unless he could put his finger in the name of
Jesus. That's Thomas.
Wow. Thomas.
Yeah, Thomas. Yeah.
Wow. Doubting Thomas. Okay. Wow.
Right.
Oh, my God.
That just got to hold my window generation.
Where is that scripture at?
Yeah, that does generationally speak, because we live in a generation that's like, save the drama, show me. I'm not
right,
trying to
that's
get
the millennial generation to speak, the whole Thomases.
Yeah, that's a very good scenario to address the generational crisis. Okay, so we're going to do a Christ and crisis scenario.
Let me see what it's like. So, Apostle, are you saying crisis in Christ or crisis or Christ?
I just said crisis and Christ.
Crisis and.
Yes. Mm. Oh, we're not on Zoom, so I can't put it in the chat. but I'm just saying crisis .. Christ. .. That's all I'm saying. So how we actually format it and what we call it, no problem. I'm just trying to remember the two words that we're working with.
Okay. All right. And that gives that makes it really broad, so you can go anyway. If you don't say and or, it kind of was limited to a certain extent. But yeah, I get you. Thank you.
And one of the classes can be Christ or crisis. Because somebody may be in a place where they have to choose.
I'm sorry, when Elder Deborah asked about the or, I was reminded in the spiritual growth and development, the search for significance, that's the last chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the trip in. So your or would be which route you take to recover from or get out of your crisis.
Oh, my God. That
like
search for significant book is going to drive me bonkers. And actually, the crisis in belief is experiencing God. So the whole you're in a crisis of belief. Yes, that's experiencing God.
Sounds like you got a whole track.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Can we just get a scriptural thing? And then we're good.
I got to pay attention to this.
Isaiah 59:1.
Somebody said what?
Because that's what I'm looking at right now.
I just didn't hear whoever is speaking.
I said I'm looking at Isaiah 59:1 right now. That's why I said it.
What does it say?
The Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, neither is his ear so dull that he cannot hear.
Oh. You know what? Okay. Henderson, give us the version. And I'm also with 2 Kings 20:5. I have heard your prayers, I've seen your tears, and I've come to heal you. That's just
what's
working. I like right now.
I'm
like
scripture.
Now I don't have some. I can hear you. Oh, that's 2 Kings 20:5. Now, I don't have a cool version for it. That's on Henderson.
And I have Psalms 34:17-20. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all.
Yes. Oh, these are my parade banners.
And you're nothing but numbers. What was the book?
I said Psalms 34:17-20.
What was
all right,
you can come up with the various workshops from these scriptures. Because there's so many.
I was going to say that. So we're ahead of the process. So let's do this because we have to end because there's so many other things starting, and I asked you all for an hour, and I definitely appreciate it. Let's do this. Let's look for some more scriptures. We can text them. You can just begin to text them in. And let's look at 5 scenarios. Let's look at some scriptural scenarios. And we will build from that so that when we come together for the meeting in May 8th, we can solidify, make assignments, and lay out the format. How does that sound for people?
Amen. To me. Amen.
All right. So let's get the wisdom of God. We will go with the strength we have, and we will trust that God will do it for us, and that will be our decree for others, and we will begin to release Psalm 34, 2 Kings 20 and Isaiah 59 into the atmosphere, and those are just, quite frankly, those are just some phenomenal soul decrees. So So it's nothing wrong with spending this next month or a little less than a month just releasing that in the atmosphere and putting those scriptures on assignment to minister to people. So, you know, the Lord knows where to send the word, and when it gets there, he knows what to do with it. And so we will do it from that perspective. So thank you, everybody, for all of your time.
Amen.
And, oh, my God, the punishment and pain you brought me through was the best thing that could have happened to me, for it taught me your ways. Well, bless the Lord for Psalms 119:71 in the TPT version. 119:71 in the TPT. It's simply
what was
says,
said before
and
that
as
you
we
broke
close.
Up.
Okay, I'm going to read it as we close. The punishment and pain you brought me through was the best thing that could have happened to me, for it has taught me your ways, O Lord. So, with that in mind, enjoy the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's Psalms 119:71. The TPT version. Psalms 119:71.
Okay.
Wow. Oh, that's too good for me.
Amen.
I know that's right.
I love doing ministry with you all. Go to your various places of ministry opportunities that are before us today and enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.